Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. President Reagan and President-elect Bush were awakened early this morning with the news that U.S. Navy fighters from the carrier John F. Kennedy had just shot down two Libyan MiG-23s in international airspace over the Mediterranean. The announcement came from State Department spokesman Charles Redmond.
Two Libyan jets approached at high speed, and the F-14 shot them down with air-to-air missiles.
David Martin has the latest at the Pentagon.
This incident occurred somewhere between about 50 and 75 miles off the coast of Libya over toward the border with Egypt. And what the Pentagon says is that the Libyan aircraft approached the U.S. Navy aircraft in a hostile manner over international waters, and the Navy aircraft, acting in self-defense, fired air-to-air missiles, downing both Libyan aircraft. What we know in addition to that is that two parachutes were sighted, which would indicate that the Libyan pilots both survived being shot down. No word on whether those pilots have been recovered from the water, and if so, by whom have they been recovered? The question here, of course, is this statement from the Pentagon that the Libyan aircraft were approaching the U.S. aircraft in a hostile manner. There will obviously be a lot of questions, and I'm sure Gaddafi will claim that these pilots were not acting in a hostile manner. It does not take much to demonstrate hostile manner. You do not have to actually open fire. You have to turn on your fire control radar or something like that.
David Martin at the Pentagon, and Libya has in fact denounced the shootdown as premeditated aggression and is demanding a UN Security Council meeting on the incident. Administration officials say the Libyans have removed from a controversial plant chemicals needed to make poison gas. They say Colonel Gaddafi apparently did so to prepare for the international inspection he has called for, but which the United States has rejected as a ploy. Gaddafi claims the site is a pharmaceutical plant, and the West German company accused by the U.S. of helping in the project today flatly denied any involvement. We get more on the issue from State Department correspondent Wyatt Andrews.
According to U.S. intelligence sources, the plant Gaddafi claims is a pharmaceutical factory is surrounded by a 40-foot-tall earthen wall. U.S. spy satellites show the plant ringed with surface-to-air missiles, and one unconfirmed intelligence report says Gaddafi may already have done a test run producing small amounts of mustard gas. At the State Department, spokesman Charles Redmond said flatly, Muammar Gaddafi is in business to make chemical weapons.
We have a major CW production facility that is on the verge of full-scale production, and I don't think among experts that there's any debate.
The U.S. is asking all Western allies to cancel any business contracts they may have with the plant. And while the allies are skeptical of the U.S. evidence, many U.S. senators, like William Cohen of Maine, are not.
Giving Muammar Gaddafi a chemical capability under the pretext that is for the production of pharmaceuticals is equivalent to giving a flamethrower to a pyromaniac who promises to use it for cooking purposes.
An interesting showdown shapes up this weekend when, coincidentally, Secretary of State Schultz addresses a chemical weapons conference in Paris, and where one of the countries in the audience will be Libya. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, the State Department.
Checking the time, coming up on 4 past the hour. At a restaurant outside Loveland, Colorado, prison parolee Wayne Strozzi, apparently despondent because his girlfriend met another man while he was in jail, killed one of about 15 hostages and wounded two policemen last night before he himself was shot and killed by police. One hostage, a man who escaped from a bathroom window, was shot dead by police by mistake as he approached them. Before he was killed, the gunman demanded a plane to fly to Libya. At the Dallas jail early today, a female sheriff's deputy was killed in a hallway by a vagrant who grabbed her revolver and shot her several times before authorities wounded him. The suspect had been released from jail a few hours earlier on charges of not paying for a meal. Breyers yogurt is being withdrawn from stores in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware after cyanide found in one container left a Haddonfield, New Jersey teenager critically ill. Camden County Prosecutor Samuel Asbell told what happened when 17-year-old Thomas Lee ate the black cherry yogurt.
In a very short period of time, he complained about he didn't feel well, then he went into convulsions, started spitting blood, and was taken back to the house and from there to the hospital.
Test of 130 other samples of yogurt removed from the supermarket chain where the tainted yogurt was bought found no contamination. The latest airline bomb threat has forced two Singapore-bound Air India jetliners to make emergency landings, one on the Indonesian island of Bali, the other in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It's now been 2 weeks since the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103, and a short time ago, a memorial service ended in Lockerbie, Scotland. Tom Fenton.
This is the the service for all those who died in the disaster 2 weeks ago. The 259 who were killed when Pan Am 103 exploded in midair, and the 11 people of Lockerbie who perished when it hit the earth 30,000 feet below. The service has brought together both townspeople and relatives of those who died in the air, many of those from the United States. In an address that he prepared prior to the news of the shooting down of the two Libyan MiGs in the Mediterranean, the moderator of the Church of Scotland warned against retaliation.
We might be tempted, even urged by some, to flex our muscles in response and show that we are men. To show that we are what? To show that we are prepared to let more young and more innocent die? To let more rescue workers labor in more wreckage? To find the grisly proof, not of our virility, but of our inhumanity.
For some of the victims, there will be no proper burial service. The bodies of 28 of them are still missing and may never be found. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Lockerbie, Scotland.
Another crowded ferry has sunk, this one in the Philippines. 16 people were killed and 12 are missing after the ferry, packed with students returning to school from the New Year holiday, sank in rough seas. The time now coming up on 8 past 7. A Los Angeles fundraiser tonight will raise about $1 million for the Nancy Reagan Center for Teenage Drug Abusers. Tomorrow, the President and Mrs. Reagan return to Washington. And Linda Tyra reports Mr. Reagan has a medical date.
President Reagan will enter Walter Reed Army Medical Center on Friday, the day after returning to Washington from his Southern California vacation. On Saturday morning at 7:30, he'll undergo surgery for a condition known as Dupuytren's contracture. It thickens and draws together the skin and tissues in the palm of the hand, gradually causing the fingers to bend. In Mr. Reagan's case, it has affected the ring finger on his left hand. The White House says the president had the condition when he took office 8 years ago, but that it has worsened to the point that surgery is now necessary. The operation, which should last 2 to 3 hours, will be performed under local anesthesia. Mr. Reagan should be able to leave the hospital after overnight observation. Linda Tyra, CBS News, with the president in Los Angeles.
Congress has convened in Washington, and as Deborah Potter reports, the political atmosphere is downright chummy.
The talk was of cooperation and bipartisanship as the 101st Congress was sworn in. Democrat Sam Nunn said it bodes well for relations between Capitol Hill and President-elect Bush.
President-elect Bush is off to a good start. He's appointed good people. He's communicated with the Congress and the leadership of the Congress, I think, extremely well so far. I believe there's a good atmosphere.
But there could be rough sledding ahead on the federal deficit. Democrats like Speaker Jim Wright are still skeptical that Mr. Bush can attack it without raising taxes.
I don't know how it can be done. If he thinks we can, we owe it to him to listen to him.
On the agenda today for the new Congress, one ceremonial chore. In a joint session with George Bush presiding, members will count the electoral ballots that certify his victory in the presidential race. Then Congress will adjourn until after the inauguration, leaving the thorny issue of the deficit for later. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The dollar is higher overseas. London gold prices are off $1.25 at $410.50 an ounce. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrial Average is up 5.36 at 21.50. Big board volume, 21,460,000 shares. Time on the roundup, 10 past 7.